all the time. God is good. So we're starting a new series today. It's called The Alphabet of God. And someone said, defined the alphabet this way, that it is a memory tool that helps us to form the basis of our language and communication from childhood into adulthood. It is the building block of literacy and of learning. Now I know my
ABCs.
Amen. You learn that. At some point, you learn that song, whether it was through a family member, if it was with the gang on Sesame Street, or wherever it was, maybe the kindergarten teacher, but you probably learned that song or that the alphabet through the alphabet song. Let me just hear a little bit of the alphabet song on three. One, two, three. Stop. Okay, we have to wake up now. Let's try it again on three. One, two. I'm the kindergarten teacher and you're the classroom. Sing it loud. Three. Look, stop, right. We didn't go all on three. Let's try one more time. One more time. Ready? One, two. Amen. Give yourself a little round of applause. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when I'm going through the alphabet and I actually sing the song to make sure that the next letter is in line. But that song, matter of fact, was a little side note, composed by Charles Bradley in 1835. He actually stole Mozart's French nursery song and he put the lyrics to Mozart's song. But it has become a favorite, amen? And we know the alphabet. Well, God has an alphabet too. God's alphabet, though, is a mysterious one, filled with wisdom, with wonder. It's not only the Hebrew alphabet, the Greek alphabet, the English alphabet. God owns all alphabet. He owns language itself. Remember that? The Tower of Babel, the people were all speaking one language. But then some person named Nimrod, remember him? He wanted to build a tower up to heaven, and God said, yeah, let's go down and let's confuse the language. And that's what happened. In that moment, that's how we got different dialects, that's how we got different tongues, that's how different nations came about. When God came down and confused the languages, because the people all spoke one language. And the amazing thing that God said is we have to go down there because these people are of one language and of one purpose. And nothing, this is from God's voice, nothing will be impossible for them. God is speaking of evil people. You wonder why certain things happen in the political world. Well, when they come together as one, God said it right in Genesis chapter 11. Nothing will be impossible with them. This is evil people because they come together. They're of one heart, one purpose, one language. So God had to come down and confuse the languages. And from that moment on, that's how we got different tongues. People just separated. They started going off. And until they could understand another person, they joined together. Then that clan started a tribe. And then from that tribe, a nation was born. And that's how we get all these nations and tribes. And I'm grateful that the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John said, I saw in heaven a multitude that could not be numbered of all tribes, of all nations, of all people, and of all tongues, worshiping God. There's coming a day, hallelujah, that's going to happen. I can't wait for that day. But that's why there was confusion that came, was because they were trying to exalt. Nimrod was trying to elevate himself to the place of God. But when we get into the Bible, when we get into the scriptures, and we start to learn the ABCs, spiritually speaking, we are building a language and an understanding of who God is. And that's my hope for this new series, which is probably going to take us right into May. And what we're going to do is study the alphabet of God, experiencing Jesus, from A to Z. We are going to look at all the names and all the titles of Jesus, and we're going to go right down the line, A, B, C, D, all the way through to Z. Yes, we're going to even do the tough ones like X and Z. But we're going to study Jesus, and my hope and my prayer is that as you learn about Jesus and the different names and the different titles, you are going to grow and your language is going to expand. Kingdom language is going to expand. Today, we're going to do the letter what?
A.
A. Somebody say Aleph. Don't all say it at once. Say Aleph.
Aleph.
One more time. Aleph.
Aleph.
Say Alpha.
Alpha.
Alpha. Aleph is the Hebrew letter for A. Alpha is the Greek letter for A. Aleph, Alpha, A. That's what we're going to be studying with. Father, we again come to you. We ask you, Lord, to bless your word. Let it go forth. Let it have free course. Father, bless your folks here. Bless every single one. Anoint me, Lord God. Help me to speak your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just give you ourselves, our bodies as a living sacrifice. And Father, we say, let thy kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For Jesus' sake and for his glory, we pray. Amen. Some of you might not know this. I just found this out. I didn't know this. But originally, the letter A was inverted. It was upside down. It was introduced into our language in the 1800s. And it's kind of unusual, or not unusual, kind of following the path, if you will, of the ancient Hebrew A. The Hebrew A kind of looked like the same thing. It looked like an inverted A with horns coming out. Aleph, the Hebrew letter, was the pictograph, portrays the head of a bull. Remember back in the old days, ancient days, they would draw, and that's how you would get language. They would look at a picture, a pictograph, and from that picture, they would try to understand language or get language. And in Hebrew, the A, Aleph, was the symbol of this bull. And the symbol conveyed power and strength found in the horns of the bull and its subsequent authority. It refers to a strong master, a strong chief, a head, or a leader. You are strong like bull. That's what my cardiologist said many years ago. Your heart, you're strong like bull. I said, thank you, sir. But what does that mean when you're strong like bull? It's the person who's the head of the household, Aleph, he's supposed to be the lead of the household. He's supposed to be the strength of the family. And there's a reason why they use the ox or the bull, because that thing can pull a massive amount of weight, sometimes 1.5 times its body strength. Can't go very fast. Say thank you, man. Say amen. We're kind of slow, but praise God, we can maybe pull some things sometimes. And women can be leaders too, don't get me wrong, right? But that's what they say, the alpha dog. You ever hear that? Alpha dog. Some people said, I'm an alpha dog. I said, no way. Anyway, Jesus referred to himself. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. When Jesus used that title for himself, he was using a title that only God himself can use. Back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. So when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, he is declaring himself to be God Almighty, that there is no one beside him, that there is no other God except him. He was at the beginning of all things, and he will be at the close of all things. It is equivalent to saying he always existed and always will exist. Yes, he came in the form of a human body, but don't ever forget that Jesus is and was completely, utterly, totally God and remains God. God came out of heaven, took on the form of a human being, and lived among us for 3.5 years, was crucified, buried, and rose again on the third day, hallelujah, and went back into heaven. Before me, Jesus is saying, there was nothing. For millions and billions and trillions of unending years, I existed and I never had a beginning. There never was a time when I was not. I am the beginning from everlasting to everlasting. I am God. And the Bible says that those who come to God must believe that He exists by faith. Those who come to God must believe in this invisible God, this one God, this Creator. They must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. As the Alpha and the Omega, Jesus is the first. He is the cause. He is the author of all things. Without Him, no authority exists. Amen. Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul said this. Listen to this. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Obey the speed limit. When you see a police officer, pray for that person. Anybody who's in a position of authority, you are to respect. For there is no authority except from God. Anybody who has a position of power is there. You know why? Because God has allowed that person to function in that capacity. I don't like my boss. Too bad. My boss doesn't like me. Sorry. God has placed certain individuals in positions of power because He's granted by His permission and sanction. And those which exist have been put in place by God. Can somebody say amen? Now, some of you may not like the current administration that we have right now, but if we really believe Romans chapter 13, that nobody gets into a position of power except by God, and God is the one who places people in power, then you know what? Your job and my job is to pray for people. Amen. You're to pray for them. No matter who's in that position, you pray. You pray for the president. You pray for the vice president. By God's grace, every single day when we're on the prayer line and every night when we're on the prayer, somehow we're praying. Sometime we're praying. Most times we're praying for the president of the United States. Why? Why would you do that, John? Well, because God's got a plan. And God's all powerful. And God controls all things at all times, in all places. He controls all people. Hallelujah. And when we pray and say, God, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God will start to move as we start to ask the Lord to pray. Not complain, God, why did you put this person here? And why did you do that? Why did you do this? Don't complain. Give it to the Lord and start to pray. You know why? Because God's going to win at the end. God is going to win at the end. Look at this is what God said to Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh of Egypt? Remember how he treated the Israelites? Remember how he beat them? Remember how he was doing such horrible things to them? Listen to what God says to Pharaoh. For this very reason, I raised you up in order to demonstrate my power in you. God raised up Pharaoh so that God's power could be displayed, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the earth. You see, God's going to get the glory no matter who's in office. Amen? This is what he said to Moses. Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that, here's the purpose, I may perform these signs of mine among them. I also have done it so you can tell your children and grandchildren about how I made a mockery of the Egyptians and about the signs I displayed among them. And so you will know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You see, this is the whole purpose. God allows certain people to come into places of in positions of power so that He can demonstrate His glory, His purposes and His power. See, there's a threefold purpose. You know what? I'm going to do it so that my name can go out through all the earth. I'm going to do it so that you can tell your children from one generation to the next exactly what I've done. You can tell your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren how great things I have done. Hallelujah. Amen? And methinks that there is a revival coming to America. I'm thinking that with all this stuff happening, God is going to do what he did in the midst of Egypt, in the midst of Pharaoh, that he is going to exalt his name, that he is going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, that he is going to exalt himself, and that this nation is going to fall to its knees and repent and say, Jesus is Lord, we by God's grace. Amen? And it's nothing that we're going to do. Nothing. It's going to be because of the Alpha, the one who causes all things to happen. It's going to be from him who is the Alpha and the Omega. He is going to bring the revival. Jesus said that he has all authority and all power in heaven and in earth. Remember when he was standing before Pharaoh? Pharaoh said, don't you understand that I have power to do whatever I want? I can release you, set you free, and crucify you. Remember Jesus, what he said back? You would have no power except it was given to you from above. Amen, amen. Jesus is your A to Z and everything in between. The Bible says that he is the cause of all creation. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that's in them. And right now, he is sustaining everything that you see around you by the word of his power. You wonder how the planets stay there, how the stars are in the sky. God simply speaks his word and says, you stay. He commands the oceans, come this far and no farther. He commands the little birds. His eye is upon the sparrow. He sees everything that is going on. He knows the exact number of your hairs. And some, you know, you give God an easy way to count them. Praise God. He is the cause of climate and vegetation. The Bible says in Psalm 135, verse 7, he causes the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasury. He causes the wind to blow and the water to flow. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. He is the cause of birth and procreation. God says, shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb? The prophet Malachi said, have we not all one father? Has not one God created us all? David confessed, you are he who took me out of my mother's womb. God is the one who causes provision for you. When the children of Israel were going around 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and 40 years, it says that they wandered, the Israelites, and they did not thirst when he led them through the desert. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock and the waters gushed out. David said, everything that we have comes from you. And we give you only what you first gave us. You think it's you? It's not you. You don't think. You think going to the job, it's your brains and your wisdom and your ability to work. Yeah, God's given you the strength to. He causes you to wake up every morning. He causes breath to come into your lungs. He causes you to be able to walk. He enables you to think and to talk and to walk and to function and to work. He enables you to get funds. He enables you to get that check every single week. It's not you, folks. All the glory and all the praise and all the glory go to God. He is the one that enables you. Like David. David had billions of dollars and he was wanting to build the temple. And he encouraged the people, give to the temple, give to the work of God. And he begins it. And this is his prayer. Everything we have comes from you. Some of us can get so boastful out there. We think, oh, look how great I am. Look how powerful I am. And then when we get weak, we get sick, and we can't work, and we're laying on our bed, and we can't do a single thing, then we start to realize, Oh, yeah, it's not me. It's all about God. Amen? He is the cause of promotion. The Bible says no one from the east or from the west or the desert can promote themselves. It is God who judges. He brings down one and he exalts another. So listen, you want a promotion at your job? That's great. But wait on God. Don't push God's hand. Amen? He'll promote you in due time. God is the cause of prosperity. It says, and the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. You say, well, it's the king. Well, who's in charge of the king? God's in charge of the king. God's in charge of every little thing. Once you understand that God is in control of every single thing, your life is going to be a lot easier. You're going to stop worrying. You're going to say, oh, something happens, you know, like the thing that happened with Adam and Eve, like in the garden. Oh my gosh, God was shocked. They sinned. No, God knew it all the time. God knows when you're going to mess up. God knows exactly what's going to make you tick and get you all anxious. And all you need to do is rest. Rest in the sovereignty of God. Rest in that God has control of your life. Just give it over to Him and say, Lord, I just put everything in your hands. You're in control. Hallelujah. The Lord's blessing makes you wealthy. Hard work can make you no richer. Isn't that interesting from Proverbs? Even in difficult times, I love this. Genesis 41:52. God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Isn't that something? Even when you're going through rough times, God can make you, cause you to be prosperous. God is the cause of all things. Amen? Maybe you got some money in the bank. You know what? Praise God. That's good. We got nothing, but praise God. We're happy. You know why? Because we wait on the Lord by faith, because He's the cause of all things. And I'm convinced that if we need 5 cents that day, God will give us 5 cents. If we need $500 that day, God will give us $500. If we need $5,000 that day, God will provide $5,000. If we need $5 million, God will provide $5 million. There's nothing that He cannot do. Amen? If He is the first, if He is truly the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end for your life, if He is the first and the last, if He is your all in all, then you are completely, utterly dependent on Him like a little baby is dependent on its parents.
Amen.
When you're going through hard times, you're going wah, wah to the Lord and He'll hear you. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
He'll give you just what you need. I love this. He is the cause of your hope. You know that once you get into the Bible and you start to read the Bible, you start to understand a new language. It's God's language. It's kingdom language. He starts to speak to you about yourself in ways that you never, ever, ever thought of yourself at all. When I look into the scripture and the devil tries to attack me and tell me I'm no good, I turn back and say, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. I am accepted in the beloved. He loves me with an everlasting love. You got to fight for who you are. Amen. The devil will come at your mind. He will try to bring you down. He will try to make you feel like you are nothing. But the Word of God, once you get into the Word of God, once you allow the Holy Spirit, God, the third person, to come and speak to you personally through the Word of God, He will begin to speak to you and hope will arise. Listen to what David says. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. Remember the word that you promised. That word has caused me, has given me hope. You put your word inside of my heart, and as a result of that, I now have hope. See, that's the problem with so many people in this world. That's why there's so many kids and so many people committing suicide. Why? Why? They have no hope. They think of themselves, they look at themselves as nothing. They allow the devil to drown them, not ever hearing the word of God. David says, remember the word that you've spoken to me. That's why it's so important. You'll hear it from this pulpit day in, day out. Get into the Bible. Get into the word of God. Read the scriptures. Why? Because Jesus said, you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Listen, in this world, there's a lot of garbage. You leave this place. I've only got 1 hour. You've got the whole week, 6 days, where you're going to be bombarded by the devil, bombarded by TV, bombarded by music. Everything is going to come into your mind. And I've got 1 hour to try to convince you to get into the Word of God so that you can listen to Jesus. And listen, hope will spring up inside of you. I don't know about you, but I need hope. I need hope every single day. That's why I need to get into the Word. Some people say, you're nuts. Why do you have the TV on Jimmy Swagger 24/7? Because I need hope. I need to hear the Word of God constantly. I need to walk into my house and I need to feel the presence of the Lord when I walk into my house. I don't need the garbage. I had enough of the garbage. The devil has come at me so many times in so many different ways. I needed my mind and I still need my mind to be cleansed by the Word of the Lord. I need hope and that hope comes in the Word of God. If you need hope today, get into the Word of God. There's no way around that. Supernatural strength and hope is going to come. And he's going to cause it to happen. He's going to cause you to have hope. He's going to cause you to look in the mirror and see yourself differently as soon as you see your identity in Christ. Oof. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He is the cause of your victories too. The Lord will cause, somebody say will cause, your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Oh, I like that. I like that. The Lord, you don't have to fight. This battle is not yours. Whatever you're going through, whatever the trial, you don't have to just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God said, the battle is mine. It's not yours. Just stand back. Yeah, get your armor on. Get ready to fight. But watch me. Watch me. Watch me as I go and do the Alpha and Omega thing. I am the cause to do this. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. I love that. I can't wait till I get to heaven. I want front seats to when Jesus says, "Devil, it's time for you to leave." Boom! And he gets cast in the lake of fire forever. I want front row seats when that. I want to see the devil get out of here because he's caused so much destruction and havoc. We're going to see it before our face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. When he was talking about the Israelites when they were going through the Red Sea, what God caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power, he brought in the south wind. Hallelujah. He divided the sea, and listen to this, and caused them to pass through. Hallelujah. He caused them to walk through it. In this life that you're walking with right now, God is your sanctifier. And let me tell you something, he's going to cause you to get to the other side and you're going to stand before the throne by his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. And he made the waters stand up like a heap. And listen to what Paul says, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Let me say it again. Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Can I say it one more time? Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I don't care what you're going through, no matter what problem you're facing, God is going to cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. Somehow, some way, it's going to turn around. He's going to reverse it. He's going to stomp on the devil. And in the end, you're going to turn around and say, thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Listen, maybe you don't face any battles. There's going to be battles that you're going to face. And then you're going to lean on Jesus and he's going to cause you. God causes all things to work together for good. Do you see how God is the cause of all things in your life? God causes the impossible to become possible. Do you know Jesus like that? Do you know Jesus as the one who is the first and the last, the one that you rely on, your Alpha and your Omega, the A to Z and everything in between? Is he that to you? Are you depending on yourself? Are you depending on your own strength? Are you depending on your own power? You're saying, oh, I need willpower. Really? Go look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, causing you to do his good will and his good pleasure. Listen, I'm helpless. Some people look at me and say, oh, Pastor John, oh, you're strong. No. I am weak. I am the weakest person here, and I enjoy being weak, because then the power of Christ can be displayed in my life. I enjoy, like Paul says, I glory in my weaknesses that the power of Christ may come upon me. Some of the best times I've had with God are when I'm down, when I'm sick, when I can't move, when I can't walk. Some of the times when I was on my back and I couldn't move, literally, I couldn't move my neck. I had to just lay there for months and months and months. Those are the best times. You know why? Because God came down and he said, I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be your strength. I will help you through this whole thing. It made my dependence upon God even stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. Sometimes we forget that. We forget that God needs to be our strength in our life. We're too dependent on our own selves and our own power. But God is the one who causes rest from all your enemies. He is the one who sustains you. He is the one who restores health to your body. He is the one who keeps you sane in an insane world. Through his name, you're able to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He is the one who vindicates you. He's on your side. He is your all in all. How has all this happened? Because Jesus is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He knows everything, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's all over the place. In Hebrew, we would say he is the Aleph Tav. Can you say Aleph?
Aleph
Tav. Aleph Tav. That's in Hebrew. I am the first. I'm the Alpha and the Omega in Greek. I am the Aleph Tav. I am the A, Aleph in Hebrew, first letter. Tav is the last letter. And I told you before that there's something very unique in God's alphabet. And it always points to Jesus somehow in some way. I shared with you that the Aleph is a sign of the bull, remember? The pictograph portrays the head of a bull. The symbol conveys the power and the strength found in the horns of the bull and its subsequent authority. It also refers to a strong master, a strong chief, the head, or a leader. Look at that bull. You don't want to mess with that thing, do you? Toro. What's Tav, though? What's that mean? What's the Z in Hebrew? According to Frank Seekins, the author of Hebrew Word Pictures, quote, the shape of the Tav was in the shape of a cross. It symbolized ownership, a seal, the sign to make a covenant, or to join two things together. It was like you took two sticks and you brought them together. And that was the Hebrew Tav. So you have the horns, the strength, and you have the Tav coming together. Somebody said this, Tav became Tau in Greek and T in modern English. The lowercase T still resembles a cross as it did in ancient Hebrew. So Tav, the cross, was a sign long before Christianity existed and before crucifixion was even invented. In reality, Tav was an ancient Jewish symbol, not a Christian symbol. It goes all the way back to the people of Hebrew. Tav. Aleph Tav. The strong one, Christ, the leader, went and sealed the new covenant with us in his own blood. The Aleph Tav, Jesus, the strong one, the mighty one, the all-powerful one, had to show a sign or a covenant that he gave to us. And guess what happened at the cross? There were two sticks that came together, like the Hebrew, two sticks to form the Tav, to make the cross. Do you see Jesus in the Aleph Tav? God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for you and died for me. You want a sign from God? There's the sign right at the cross. Amen. Why would you ignore God's sign to you? Why would you ignore that love that he displayed to you? Why would you say, oh, God doesn't love me. Show me, God, if you really love me, look at the cross. God demonstrated, he revealed, he proved his love for you and for me by sending his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God proved his love for you and for me, that while we were still sinners, saying, I don't want to know you, God, I hate you, I want nothing to do. While we were still doing that, Jesus still went to the cross to die for you and to die for me. You need a covenant sign. There's the two sticks, the Tav God puts together. Amen. He says, you want a sign? Here is the sign. And this sign is a seal. It's a covenant between you and me. I'm making a covenant that you can be forgiven of your sins. You can be washed. You can be cleansed. You can have new life in Jesus Christ if you come to the Aleph Tav. You must come to the Master himself. Look at the Tav. Look at the cross, what he's done for you. Wow! He is your Alpha and Omega. He's your Aleph Tav.
Amen.
Can somebody say Aleph Tav? Oh, I worship the Aleph Tav. I worship Jesus, who is my all in all. Amen?
Amen?
He paid the price for you, and he paid the price for me. Listen to what Paul says, and with this I'm going to close if musicians want to come up. For Messiah himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. In his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. Listen, we're hearing it all over the place. Oh, we need equality. This life matters and this life matters. And we should look. Jesus broke down all of those things. And the only way we're ever going to have peace and ethnic unity is by coming through way of the cross. It's only when you and I are covered in the blood of Jesus that we are one people in Messiah. God has broken down the middle wall of partition. You get it? The hatred that exists out there is not because of God. It's because of the devil. Because the devil has come to steal, to kill, and divide and destroy. It's the devil who is dividing the people. It's not the president. It's not the vice president. It's not governor. It is the devil at its core. And only Jesus can bring unification.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Only Jesus can make us one. That's why I love going into a church when I see multiplied ethnicities. When I see black and white and Hispanic and German and all these different nationalities. It's proof positive that God is the only one who can bring us all together and make us one.
Amen.
That's what Paul said. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved. Dissolved, dissolved. Can somebody say dissolved? By the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross, he made peace between Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles, by creating in himself one new people from the two groups, Jews and non-Jews, fused together in himself. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through his crucifixion, hatred died. If you are born again, and if Jesus Christ truly lives inside of your heart, guess what? You should have love there and not hatred. Love for your fellow man, no matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what they're going through, ethnicity, whatever you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
That's what love does. Love brings people together. And yeah, there's going to be times when we're going to be having to separate from people. You know, sometimes there are going to be people, friends, that do things that are really contrary to the scriptures, and we'll love them, but we'll say, listen, I'm so sorry, but I can't be joined to a harlot, if you get what I'm talking about. I can't be joined to somebody who's not a believer. I can't really hang around. I love you to death, but what you're doing, it really offends my God. And because it offends him, it offends me. I can feel the grief of the Holy Spirit inside of me, and I'm so sorry, but I can't do that. Listen, I'm here. I love you. I will talk to you. I will do whatever it is, but right now I have to separate from you right now. Sometimes God calls us to be separate from the world. That's an old phrase that we don't hear very often, right? But it's in the scriptures. Separate from the world. Be my people. You got to be different. We're supposed to be a distinguishing mark, different from the world out there. Our talk is supposed to be different. Our walk is supposed to be different. When they look at us, they say, hey, you're one of us. When they look at us, they say, no. Why aren't you like one of us? I have family members that I love with all my heart, but we get into a conversation, and then it stops. You know why? Because Christ is right there and you can't go very much further. They hate you because you believe in righteousness? They hate you because you believe in the Bible? They hate you because you're taking a stand for that which is right? Give me a break, folks. Wow. Yep. Didn't know I was going there. Hallelujah. But God is the Alpha and he is the Omega. Amen. He is the first and the last. He is the Aleph Tav. He paid it all for you. And I love this. Apostle Peter said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again. He has caused us to be born again. Do you know right now he's speaking to certain people because he's causing something to stir up within you and he's drawing you to himself? Did you know that? God will use preachers, no, insignificant preachers like me, to speak to people out there to get them to come closer to God and separate from the world. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now I know my ABCs. I'm hoping you're going to sing a new song with me. Amen?
Amen.
Can you stand up to the Lord? Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, you are incredible, too wondrous for words. Lord, inexplainable at times. And Father, we just come humbly before you, asking you to move by your Spirit among your people. And as the ushers come forward, the deacons come forward to pass out the elements, Father, we just ask you to please move upon our hearts right now. Help us. If there are individuals here that have not been born again, cause them, Father. Cause them to be born again. That is our plea. Lord, we're praying for loved ones and friends and family members who do not know you, that you would cause them to be born again, afresh and anew by your Spirit, Father. Lord, we submit ourselves unto you. We ask you to have your way in Jesus' name. If you have to go, please do so quietly. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and lift his countenance on you. Others, we're going to be taking communion in a few moments, so just allow the Lord to examine your heart in Jesus' name. Amen.